Sometimes I may mispronounce words, but I hope you can excuse me. Because through the 20 years in Papua, I have lost a number of teeth right in front here. That's why I don't like to open my mouth too much. I like to speak under my breath because I fell down and broke them and many other things. So I'll try to. I probably don't need this, do I? I still need it, huh? Okay. But we thank the Lord, me and my family. We have the privilege to serve in the place called Papua, or formerly what it's called Irian Jaya. And some of you may know, some of you may not know, but it was a former Dutch colony place, and a lot more jungle than any one of us can imagine. And you know, the people over there, I'm not insinuating or anything, okay, I just made the observation. You know, over there, people, they really don't care much about each other until it's time that the person goes, you know, the person dies. And then they show all their emotion and their, how much they value them and so forth. You know, I observe this very, very often. And I used to tell my wife and my family, it would be better and people appreciate them while they're still alive, not when they are gone. And so, you know, if we appreciate the moms and all, from the first day they come until today, it'll be better than when they want to go, then we appreciate them a lot more, you know. Just imagine how much you can enjoy and receive the blessings if you start from the beginning. You don't wait until somebody wants to go, then, oh, you express all these things. Value them while they're still here next to you, alive and well. And you will enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I'm speaking this also for you who have children, family members, and so forth. Don't wait till something tragic or something very crucial before you start to appreciate their presence. Appreciate all God gave you time and opportunity. Today I would like probably to continue in what the subject of to be successful or something, in what Pastor was talking or started the series. Only it's not the word success, but it's other than the word forbearance. And this is a very important quality, a very important area in which we need to have, so that we can appreciate God's blessing throughout our lives as we serve Him. We have a sister here, and he's also a missionary, children from Papua. I believe his parents, his grandparents, he's the third generation missionary in the same island, in the same country, with the same people. And we have young people and all grow up and serve God like that, it'll be wonderful. You'll see more things get done, okay, than we can ever imagine. Jordan, right? Okay, Joshua Jordan, JJ. Okay. His father, his mother, his grandfather, his grandmother is still serving. How old is Grandpa?
83.
83 years old. I'm 64 only, but I feel like I'm 90 years old. Let's turn to the book of Romans. Once in a while I go out of track, it's because when I first went to Papua, I have to turn English that I preach in Indonesian. Now it's the other way around, because the train of thought is quite different. When you live that long there, it has an effect on you. So in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, that's where I'm going to read from. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's a question there, and only you can answer that, because that's the question God posed to us this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy, the opportunity that thou hast allowed us to live, to have the promise of eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also that we will have the breath, not only of life, but the breath to breathe each day and to live each day, that we will also have the opportunity to praise thee. May we live to the praise of your glory each day, and that we will always bring honor and glory to your name. Bless this time, bless your word to the hearts of thy people, as we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We are all scattered all over, pockets here and pockets there. I want to look at everybody. It's kind of difficult, because you know, when I look at your eyes, then I can tell whether there's any effect or not, or you are sleeping. I was trained in the Singapore Armed Forces to sleep with the eyes open. So I know when you're sleeping, when I look at your face, your eyes. Okay, so be careful. Be careful. You are very fortunate, you don't have a wooden pulpit. I'm very, very notable for pounding at the pulpit. But today, no pulpit. Okay? No pulpit. In Irian we have, and we pound it all the time. If you see into God's word this afternoon, it speaks about the forbearance, the quality of forbearance of God. You know, many times in our lives, there are things we observe that we can say. You know, we observe and we comment. Either we say good things or we criticize. You know, somebody say amen. Huh? There must be a real critic there. And, you know, but sometimes we cannot, and we should not. Although we know of it, we understand it, we couldn't say it. Like the Lord Jesus Christ, he doesn't speak many, many times. Although the answer was very obvious, but he kept it in his heart, and he knows it. It's the best thing to do. And that takes character. You know, it takes a lot of character. Because, you know, it's very easy to just shut your mouth off, you know. Some people think that they brush their teeth with gunpowder so they can shut their mouth off anytime. Many are like that. But it takes great restraint, understanding, patience. And then the word is forbearance. And the Lord has that. Only when it's time, he would say something. And when he said it, it is very, very important. It is an instance of divine condescension. that the Lord reasons with man and asks this question and others like this. If you look in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 5, why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. Isaiah 52 verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. You know, the question is very simply referring to Israel. God is asking them, will you stop being perverted? You know, why are you such? Will you not come back unto me? I'm here. I'm with you whithersoever thou goest. I will strengthen you with the right hand of my righteousness. I will provide you the food. I will give you the water. I will give you the strength. Just trust in me. You have seen it over and over again. God is asking them a very, very simple question. In actual fact, it's a rhetorical question. Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 4, will thou not from time this time cry unto me, my father, thou art the guide of my youth? Then Ezekiel chapter 33 verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, it's very sad when God has to repeat centuries after centuries from the days of old until today. Why don't you trust in me? Why don't you depend upon me? You have seen the fruits. You have enjoyed the fruits. Come back to me. In other words, what we could see is the amazing, astonishing forbearance of God. Time and time again we rebel against him. Time and time again we forsook him. But yet he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In Ezekiel he said, even the wicked, he said, turn from his way and live. Sometimes you think God is so unforgiving, unfair, but even the wicked got a chance. Even those who did not want to believe have a chance, because God is a very forbearing God. And it is very sad that anyone who has seen God's judgment on others, people like us, and have escaped themselves, just like the nation of Israel, should draw from this special mercy a reason for adding sin to sin. If we have seen it, we have experienced it, we have seen people suffer from it, why can't we listen and come back to him? Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. You see, it was during the divided kingdom this comment was made. Israel was one, Judah was one. Israel was doing wrong, and Judah, who had the privilege to see the wrongs and the consequence of sin, still went and did the same thing Israel did. If today we have seen things like that, It's only logical and proper for us, you know, if we see a certain consequence in somebody's life because of sin, then we should never follow it. You see? We should learn something good, you know, learn from history, not to repeat history. But we don't. That's the problem. We refused. Israel refused. And so even in here, in the New Testament, the Christians particularly also refuse. Why? Well, simply sin. It's the sin that we have not learned to be forbearing. We understand very little of what forbearance is. We think we have a right. It is our right. But we have no right. The only right we ever had and can claim is to go to hell and burn in hell forever. That's our right. But you see, because of the forbearance of God, His hand, His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and what did He do? He suffered for our sins. He was mutilated. He was done anything that a sadist could do unto. And yet, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they have done. And after enduring for 9 excruciating hours at the cruel cross, He says, it is finished. It is finished. He didn't say, it is finished as a coward. But He says, it is finished. It's done. The cry of victory. The same cry that a Roman soldier would cry out when he goes into the city and clear the city out. You know, destroy everything, burn everything to the ground. And everything is done. They will wave their two-edged sword, so to speak, okay? Short one. And they would say, Tetelestai. It is finished. Victory. And that's what Lord Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary's cross. How many of us have ever had and understand that when Jesus was tortured, whipped, kicked, punched, pierced, He did not say anything. Because He had that quality that many of us did not want to have. We count it a great loss to have it, to be forbearing. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is a very forbearing God. Today, we just see 3 things about it, and understand a little bit more about what it is. The first thing, let us learn to honor the Lord's goodness and forbearance. That's why you are here today, that's why I'm here today, you know, because of the forbearance of God. It is manifested to us in 3-fold form. Number 1, I have no notes for you, so you have to listen carefully. Okay? But he got no notes on. His notes is all here, here, here. That's it. So, when you get it, you get it. You don't get it, you don't get it. But I know the Holy Spirit will have you to get it. If you don't sleep. Okay? If you don't sleep. Much sleeping is the weariness of flesh. The first thing manifests is goodness. Goodness which had borne with past sin. Let's look at Psalms 78:32. Because I don't memorize the whole scripture, I have a very bad memory, so we must turn the pages. And for you who are running out of battery in your, I see some of you using that, that, whatever you call that, you know, shame on you. Buy a Bible like this. It's not old fashioned. It's still in style. The other day when somebody came to the house to repair the air conditioning and he saw the books at the shelf, he said, "This is the only house I see with books." Wow, you all study a lot. It's all the kids' books. Yeah, they're homeschooling books. They're not out of style. They're still in style. Psalm 78. You know, when y'all gave me this Bible, when I went to the field 20 years ago, I hardly use it, you see, because they don't understand English. So the pages are still fresh. 78:38, okay. "But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath." You see how merciful God is. So many times, and yet he turned his anger away. That's his goodness. Look at Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Verse 10. "He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." See again? If we have got what we deserve, none of us will be here today. You know? And if you get angry all of a sudden here and there, you know, somebody, you know, didn't bring your newspaper, or somebody didn't bring your lunch or buy your lunch or something, and then you get upset and you scold the fella, run the fella with a millstone or whatever the case may be, you know, you just shut off your mouth, you know why? Because you every morning brush your teeth with gunpowder. Hey, come on, that's not for parents. That's not near any kind of merciful act. We are in our sins. We are in our iniquities. And repeatedly we do things like that. And God turned away. Did he compromise? Did he turn a blind eye? No, my friend. That's not what the language tells me. The language tells me he is merciful. He loved us. He cares for us. And that's the best way. He wants us to learn. Sometimes he comes on like a ton of bricks, but many times God did not do that because he's a merciful God. Now we are the one that is ungrateful. We do not know how it is to be grateful. That's the second part called forbearance. And the third thing, long suffering, which is in the future as in the past and the present, is prepared to bear the guilt, as we see in Luke chapter 13 verse 7 to 9. You won't read that, it's a little bit long, but I'll tell you what it says. It's a fellow who plants the tree. Yeah. He plants it, a fig tree. And this fella plants the fig tree for maybe 3 years, and the boss comes and said, "This fig tree has not given me any figs or good figs. Cut it down, burn it away." Sounds like who? Sounds like us, right? Many times you say, okay, we even quote scriptures. We say, hey, this one there doesn't bear fruit, carry out, burn it. You know, scripture. We give a text, verse, everything. That's what happened. The owner comes and said, hey, no fruit. But the planter says, Lord, why don't you give me a chance? Give me a chance, and if it doesn't bear fruit anymore the next time around, I'll cut it now, burn it away. And the Lord says, okay. Okay. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father is like that. You know, we come to Him and we ask Him for a chance. He gave us a chance. He gave us more than a chance. He not only went the extra mile, He went extra miles and miles and miles. And we still bargain with Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ is like that. Manifest to us in threefold form: goodness, forbearance, long-suffering. It's also manifested in excellence by three considerations. The person who shows it, it is the goodness of the Lord, who is omniscient, to see sin, just to hate it, powerful to punish it, yet patient toward the sinner. Psalms 145 verse 8. Psalms 145 and verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. When I was much younger, I always think that, you know, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, you know, He could simply just call 10,000 angels. This fellow poking here, poking there, blood coming out and all everything else. They spit at Him, pull His hair off, you know. And He was naked, you know, to humiliate Him. And then hung at the cross, you know, for 9 hours. Every time He wants to breathe, He got to pull Himself up so His lungs will extend and He can breathe. And then when he breathes enough, He goes down. There's a wood, you know, horn right beneath Him. He would sink right into it, and it would hurt because it would pierce His back. And then He will pull up again, and His thing will start to tear just to breathe. You know, I would say, Jesus would have called 10,000 angels, come down, or call lightning from heaven and fry us all. Finish, case closed. This is human being, ungrateful. That is what they do to the one who saved their souls. I was always thinking like that. You know, I like quick justice, street justice. Like Dr. May used to tell me, he also loved quick justice. He don't believe in slow justice. You know, if you want to make sure if this guy is a murderer and all, and there are 5 of them, put them in a row, take one bullet, then put them close together, shoot, and they all die with one bullet, no waste. No, that's what we are. We like this type. But Jesus Christ is never like that. It's never like that. If He was like me, there would be no human beings on this earth. Not even dogs. So my friend, we call that forbearance. Don't forget. Forbearing one another. The person who shows it, the being who receives it, it is dealt out to men. Guilty, insignificant, base, provoking, ungrateful being. Genesis 6:6 tells us that. That's the subject. That's man. And the conduct to which it is a reply, it is love respond to sin. Often God forbears, though sins are many, wanton, aggravated, daring, repeated, and everything bad. But God thinks differently. Look at the last book of the Old Testament. What's the last book of the Old Testament? Anybody knows? Malachi. Okay. Malachi chapter 3 verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not concealed. Sons of Jacob. You know why he says sons of Jacob? Because Jacob was the name, the old name of Israel. And what does Jacob mean? You learned the other day, somebody said what Jacob means? Usurper, right? But there's another one called supplanter or deceiver. We are deceivers. We are supplanters. And God reminds Israel, you are the sheep. You know, you are the deceiver, the supplanter. He says, I remain the same. I am the merciful God. And I have not changed. Although you need to change, but I have not changed. So he reminds them, I change not, I am the Lord. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. If I have changed, God says, then you will not exist. You will be consumed. So you see the merciful God. That's the reason why God has done all this. And we do not understand. And some of us don't want to understand. And we could not see beyond our sins in our lives. You know, we were blinded to the fact that this is really merciful God. This is really the God that we must always honor and always glorify. If at any point in time God seemed fit to take away our lives, He is still just and He is still fair. Secondly, let us consider how it may be despised. These are some of the ways, I name three, in which we despise His forbearance by claiming it as our due and talking as if God were bound to bear with us. You know, sometimes, many times, you know, I have done it myself. I said, God, you owe it to us. You told me to come to this place. You called me to come to Irian Jaya, bring my daughters, my son, my wife, my family. And here we are right in the middle of no man's land, with all the mosquitoes eating us up alive, and all the bugs, and no light, and no nothing, you know. And the people look like they're going to have us for dinner also, and lunch, and whatever. Why? Because we look at God and God, you owe us. But the fact is that we owe God. And when we cannot afford to pay, we cannot afford to pay. And He knows we can't afford to pay. But all He wants us to do is obey. Be ready. Be faithful. He will do the rest. But instead we go by perverting into it into a reason for the hardness of heart. Presumptuous, infidelity, and further sin. You can read in the Old Testament. To save time, I won't read it to you again. But Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11. You know, the nation of Israel is always using excuses. We deserve it. Oh, because it's too difficult. Oh, it's not necessary. All kinds of excuses. Forbearing one another, it begins there. If you cannot understand the forbearance of God, the least we can do is to be forbearing to one another. Until the time we understand each other, then we can really understand our God. Because we can't say, I am faithful to God, when we are not faithful to one another. Same principle. If you can't do it to your fellow man, how can you claim God that you can do it to him? If you can't give your fellow man a cup of water when he's thirsty, how can you ever say, I love God? It's a mockery of his name. Let us feel the force. Okay? Let us feel the force. Feel the force of its leading. Let us ask God, pray with God, give us a chance. Just one more chance, God, that I will live to the praise of your glory. That I will make an effort. And I will put where my money where my mouth is, so to speak. He is not hard and unloving, or would not have spared us. To go on and offend would be cruel to him and disgraceful to ourselves. Nothing can be baser or lower than to make forbearance a reason for provocation. Many times that's what we do. It is evident from his forbearance that he will rejoice to accept us. He is God. If we will turn to him, he spares that he may save. The forbearance and long suffering of God towards sinners is truly astonishing. He was longer in destroying Jericho than creating the world. Did you know that? You know how long God took to destroy Jericho? Jericho was a sinning, a heathen, a terrible place. Took at least 3 weeks. Send the spies in, check out the place. The spies came out. After that he went there. They all go there, cross the river, went to Jericho. They walk around the place, around the city. How many times? How many times? 6 times. And then the 7th time they walk around, then they shout. Then the wall collapsed. Then they went in and killed everything. More than 3 weeks. How many days did God create the world? 6 days. 7 days he rested. He took longer time to destroy Jericho than he took to build this world, create this world. Know what that means? Even the wicked, he took time. It shows he's merciful. His long suffering, he shows his forbearance, waiting and waiting for people to repent. You know, according to the Proverbs, not the book of Proverbs, but the old Jewish proverb, Michael the archangel, you know Michael? He was the angel of what? It was angel of war. If you want anything, destroy anything. You know, what in Indonesian they say, hapuskan. You call Michael. Michael the henchman. The old Jewish proverb says, Michael fly with one wing. You know, Michael fly only with one wing. But they also say this, Gabriel fly with two wings. You know what that means? The angel of destruction comes slowly, one wing. But the angel of repentance, of message, good message, is quick. He flies with two wings. And who sends them? God has sent them. Two and two is four, right? Who comes faster? Gabriel. Shows God is very merciful. If Gabriel one wing and Michael two wings, Michael will be there and left nothing for Gabriel to tell. You see? So the Jewish proverb is quite good, you know. Gives them an idea. God is forbearing. God is wonderful. You see? God is quick in sending angels of peace, and they fly apace. But the messengers of wrath come slowly. God is more hasty to glorify His sons, His servants, than to condemn the wicked. That's our God. One last story. You like stories? I didn't put you to sleep, right? One last story. It is observable that the Roman magistrates, when they gave sentence upon anyone to be scourged, a bundle of rods tied hard with many knots was laid before them. The reason was this, that whilst the beadle, or the fellow who could perform it, was untying the knots, which he was to do in a certain order, not in any hasty or sudden way, the magistrate might see the deportment and carriage of the delinquent. So when the fellow who's doing the scourging, he's, you know, it's the fellow is over here, the victim or the person, the felon, and then the fellow will come and put that bundle of sticks there, you know, tied a lot of knots there. Then the fellow will untie. Only in a certain way. No other way. A certain way. Slowly. Not to torture the guy. You know, to make the guy excited and wow, the fellow say, oh my, get it over with, you know. Now he unties the knot slowly one by one, so that the magistrate might see the deportment and carriage of the delinquent. Whether he was sorry for his fault and show any hope of amendment, that then he might recall the sentence. If you see that the fellow is going to be repentful, he might have more mercy and chance to say, okay, maybe half or maybe quarter, or even withdraw the whole thing. The magistrate wants to see the fellow's reaction. You see? Or mitigate the punishment. If the guy really, you know, he's the kind of, you know, real boastful and arrogant and unrepentful and says, you know, pass yani pun, like the Hokkien would say. Then he will say, okay, give that fella everything. Otherwise, he was to be corrected the more severely. So he still give the guy a chance. Mrs. Roman, you know, still got chance, still got mercy. You see? Thus, God in the punishment of sinners, how patient is He? How loath to strike? How slow to anger if there be any hopes of recovery? How many knots doth he untie? How many ropes doth he make in his way to justice? He doth not try us by martial law, but by plea the case with us. Why will you die, O house of Israel? To sin against the law is daring, but to sin against love is dastardly. To rebel against justice is inexcusable, but to fight against mercy is abominable. He who can sting the hand who nourishes him is nothing less than a viper. When a dog bites its own master, and bites him when he is feeding him and bottling him, no one will wonder if his owner becomes his executioner. You know, I used to say this proverb, not this one, but my thing is, you know, in Iran I like to preach, and then I end by saying, even the dog, you know, my dog, I have a dog there, you know, and he's kind of crazy. When he was young, I think he was abused, they say, but not the kind of abuse, but the mother steps on his tail as a pup, so he suffered the trauma. So he go crazy, you know. Even the kids are afraid of him sometimes, you know. He's very nice, no, until his eyes turn starry and kind of reddish like that. Once you see that, I mean, don't touch, you know, don't touch the fur. People have come, people have regret, you know, so many of them, ladies, men. I mean, if you see him, you will be afraid. If you don't see him, here he is, but you will be afraid too. That guy is something else. He bite me only once. I tried to put him into the van. I carry him, he bite me. A little bit on me, you know, but that's all. Oh, no matter how crazy he is, he still didn't bite me on account of anything else. You know, maybe I was crazier, and he recognized that. But you know, I used to tell him, you know, even a dog knows how to honor his master. And if that dog bite the master's hand, that dog ought to be shot right at that spot. No use. It's not a hot dog. You know. I know you Koreans would eat the dog, right? They're afraid of Koreans because Koreans like hot dog. They eat them real good. But in Papua they eat dogs too. And cats, and rats, and the rest. You know, anything that moves. Their favorite scripture is, and God had made them and looks delicious. We call it good, but they say it's delicious. But you know, my friend, what is said here? You know, even the dog should know his master. We are like the dogs. God is our master. And if we bite the very hand that feed us, the very hand that cover us, the very hands that protect us, we are not fit for the kingdom of God. We have not understood what it is to be forbearing from an all-forbearing God. Romans tells us, not only to the Jews, but to the New Testament believer, you and I. One more time, I'll read that, and then we'll close. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Let the goodness of the Lord lead us to repentance, and let us be repentant people, forbearing people, forbearing one another as God has in fit to forbear us too. Let us pray.